on assembling, as is the habit of some. All right? Rather than distancing ourselves from the faith and from others who are in the faith, these Christians needed to maintain their public confession of Jesus and exhort each other, both of which were accomplished when they assembled. When we assemble together, we encourage one another, and we confess our faith in Jesus publicly. And it says that we ought to do that with boldness, even when times are bad. Have confidence and boldness in Jesus and in what He has said and in His promises, to trust that He can fulfill those. Be bold in your faith. And He says, do it all the more as you see the day drawing near. Perhaps this is referring to the day of judgment at the end of the world. Warning section. Warning. This is really strong. For if we go on sinning willfully, what do we think of when we hear those words, sinning willfully? Think back to the old law. Was there a sacrifice for the individual who was guilty of willful, high-handed, presumptuous sin? What could you bring to the priest? Absolutely nothing. Nothing. There was nothing there for you. All right? Numbers 15:30 says, but the person who does anything defiantly, whether he is native or an alien, the one who is blaspheming the Lord, and that person shall be cut off from among his people because he has despised the word of the Lord, has broken his commandment. That person shall be completely cut off. His guilt will be on him. Okay? He says that if you're that type of person and you are sinning willfully after you have received the knowledge of the truth, you have said that Jesus is Lord, He is Christ, you understand what it is to be a follower of Christ, and you go on and you say, I don't care, I'm going to do what I want to do, I don't care what God says, I'm going to do what I want to do, it says you have nothing but an expectation of a bad day to come. I already mentioned this about in the Old Testament, the sin that they were guilty of is they lost faith in God. And these people who were reading this book originally, they were losing faith in Christ. And the sin is the rejection of Christ. And if one goes down that path and doesn't change, there is no other sacrifice. That's it. There is nothing that's going to cleanse you of your sins beyond the one sacrifice of Jesus. And so, if that's the case, if you reject the one sacrifice of Christ, what can one in this condition expect? Terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of fire which will consume the adversaries from Isaiah 26:1. It goes on to say anyone who actually sets aside the law of Moses dies without mercy. So if I'm living up under the law of Moses and I say I don't care what God says, I'm going to do this anyways, under the witnesses of two or three people, what happens to you? You die. How much more severe do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God, has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified, and has insulted the Spirit of grace? Psalm 2:7 says, you are my son. And in Psalm 110:1 he says, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. The one who is doing this sin, sinning willfully and saying, I don't care what God says, I don't care what Christ says to do, I don't care. What he's done is he's taken Jesus and, in a sense, put him up under their feet, trampling on Christ, treating him as if he has no significance whatsoever. And they also treat the blood of the covenant as if it is unholy. And we think again about Exodus 24, about the blood being sprinkled, and we think about what Jesus said in Matthew 26:28, for this is my blood of the covenant. The one who has treated the blood of the Son of God, the only source of atonement, as unholy in common. This is what you're doing. If you are sinning willfully this evening, say, I don't care what God says. This is what you're doing. And then he says, lastly, that you are insulting the Spirit of grace. The one who willfully abandons Christ insults deity, including the Spirit through whom we have received and experienced the grace of God. You're doing all of those things. If we have this attitude, if we're drifting away from Christ, at some point God says, you're doing this, you are sinning willfully. I don't know when that is. I don't know when God says, okay, you're drifting to the point that you are rejecting me. But if that's where you are, you better change. But if that's where you stay, what is judgment going to be like? When you stand before God one day with that type of attitude, horrible thing. And he goes on to quote two Old Testament quotes that confirm that God will indeed take vengeance upon his own people. Deuteronomy 32, 35, and 36. This is when Moses is telling this new generation who's about ready to go into the land. He says, be careful. Don't repeat what your forefathers did, and they died in the wilderness. All right? Don't have that type of unbelief. He says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. Normally, it's a good thing to be in the hands of God, but if you're in this type of mindset and attitude, it's a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of a living God. We're actually talking about people here, not those who are struggling to do what's right, but we're talking about people who have left the Lord. Okay, I think that's who he's referring to here. Let's get to the last few verses here, and then we'll be done. But remember the former days. This reminds me of the warning that he had in chapter 6. After the strong warning, he says, but we expect better things of you. Okay, here, after the strong warning, he's saying, but remember the former days. Think about the time when you were strong in the Lord, when you showed dedication to the Lord during hard times. He said, you endured a great conflict of sufferings. Well, how did you do this? By being made a public spectacle. The word here for conflict in the Greek is that word. What English word do you see in that Greek word? Athlete. Athletics. It's a challenge. It's a contest. All right. Partly by being made a public spectacle. What word do you see in this? Theater. So you go to the theater and you watch somebody on stage, but here you have the Christians who were put on stage for what reason? Persecution. To be made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers. When you become a sharer and one who's going through hard times, what normally becomes true of you? In trouble as well. And you're looked at in a bad light as well. Even if you're even innocent of it, you look bad because of who you're with. Well, these people were willing to share with those who were treated in this wrong way. You showed sympathy to the prisoners. I'm assuming that those would be those who are in Christ who are in prison, and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property. How could they do that? How could they joyfully accept their homes being raided and things ripped out of their houses? How? They knew something. They had the right heart, and they knew that they had something better laid up in front of them. Hebrews 13:14 will say, for here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. They would let it go because, you know what, this doesn't matter. I have a home. God has said this is what's waiting for me. I trust in His promises, and I don't care about this stuff. So they were fine with letting their stuff go. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence again. There's that word, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. Now I want to get to this last thing. For yet, in a very little while, he who is coming will come, and he will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. All right? Just as in the days of Habakkuk, God was going to judge his own people. But the righteous he would protect, and the righteous will live by faith. All right? And he says, but we... He's talking to them. He's talking to us. We are not of those who shrink back. This word for shrink in the Greek means the lowering of the sails of a ship. I'm through. I'm going to lower the sails. It's over. He says, don't shrink back. Don't quit. If you do, you're shrinking back to what? To destruction. But be of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. Okay? From God's wrath. May God give us the strength that we may imitate those who through steadfast faith inherit the promises. And wouldn't it be great If we had a long list of men and women who were faithful to God, who lived through this, wouldn't it be marvelous? Of course, we know that's what we're going to roll into on Sunday morning. Hebrews 11. Thanks.